Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
That's true, John. What episode number is this?
This is episode number 92. We've got 8 episodes, only 2 months.
And we've done zero planning.
Until episode 100. I've done a little bit of planning.
What?
Been a little bit of under the surface planning going on over here. Nothing that affects you, sort of.
What does that mean?
Nothing that you need to know about just yet.
I don't know if I like that. This week we are talking about a myriad of things. The main thing being
collectibles.
We're talking about collectibles.
What do we like to collect? What is there out there cool to collect?
Yep.
There's a plethora of collectibles that are out there and that are possible, but we're going to talk to you about some of our favorites.
Yes. If you can't tell, we have not done any planning for the podcast for the future, and so we're just coming up with topics out of thin air
now. But this is a great topic.
It is a great topic.
And it's kind of been in my back pocket for a while now.
I like that.
And so I just decided, hey, this is the perfect time to just pull out what's in my back pocket, and there it was.
Maybe next week we'll review the premiere of The Walking Dead, mid-season premiere. Or
I will have to do a lot of catching up on that side of things.
Or we can review a game or a movie or something like that.
I like it. I like all of those options.
Do one of those.
Anything.
Yes.
So, Chris, what have you been up to this week?
Man, so let me tell you. Well, I guess that story, I'll wait till later.
Okay. Have you played any games, watched any movies?
I played a lot of iDarb.
Nice.
Hashtag iDarb.
Hashtag iDarb. If you're on Xbox One, there is a free game with gold. So you give them your gold or whatever, that whole discussion. And then you get this game. And hashtag iDarb is pretty fun, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, you're like going crazy over there with the chapstick, Chris.
Yes. I need my chapstick.
You got to keep those lips moist.
Moist.
Anyway, so hashtag iDarb is, it's really fun. It's interesting. I haven't played it with more than just 2 people. Right now there's like, if you're not in the same room, you can't like team up with your friends. It's kind of a one-on-one based in that sense.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. You know, if you haven't picked it up, definitely check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of chaos. I will say, it fails in a couple of areas. It fails, you know, if you're not in the same room, you can't, have more than 2 players.
Like couch co-op, it would be super fun.
Co-op is super fun. It supports up to 8 players locally. If you go online and play another opponent, it's also kind of laggy. Very laggy.
It is laggy. Like, it's definitely got, like, there's moments where it slows down and just the frame rate plummets.
Yeah, and so,
so it affects gameplay, but it does, in fact, plummet for both of you. So it's not like it's a, it's unfair to one side versus the other. It's not like it's a lag situation like sometimes will happen where one person's the host and the other person is not. And, you know.
It's still a situation I do not like.
Oh, I agree. But it's really fun. Like, your character creator, like, it's super easy to create characters in there. Like, within.
You created a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, within, like, what was it, like a half hour, I had, like, I had a bunch of Marvel characters and a bunch of DC characters. Yeah. I obviously did Batman first.
Did you create any after the ones you sent me?
No. I was just scanning ones in.
We'll post these characters.
Yeah.
StayOnTargetPodcast.com.
For sure. There's a, if you have your Kinect, you can actually scan in with a QR code.
Yes.
Other people's characters, and that's really fun. So
that's what we'll post on StayOnTargetPodcast.com.
I like it. I actually scanned in some of the South Park crew.
Really?
With some of those QR codes and
Dude,
stuff.
Dude, you should send that to me.
I will. That was a really fun game. So, Chris, this week, there is the Hardline beta. This is something like the Battlefield Hardline beta.
Mm-hmm.
Battlefield is not a game that I'm into that often. Like most Battlefields, I'm just kind of like, meh. Like, you've played the single players and that
sort of thing.
I play
the single player campaigns every single time.
The multiplayers have never been that fun for me. But this time, it seems like it's a lot snappier. It's a lot more like arcade-ish, less like, you know, whenever you're sniping or whatever, that the bullet drop, you have to calculate for all of that. I mean, it's a lot more fun in my mind. Like, it's massive, obviously.
What are the two modes? Or are there more than 2 modes this time?
There's 3 modes. There's heist mode,
Which I've played,
which is really fun because you go and break into the bank, or you fend off the robbers that are breaking into the bank.
Right.
Then there was one weird one that was it's basically like domination where you have to capture different flags and hold them for a certain period of time, but inside vehicles, like where the flags are vehicles.
Weird. Are they driving around the map?
Yeah, you have to keep them above a certain speed
in
order for you to actually count
the points. It's like the movie Speed.
Yeah, and so like you're constantly like running away from people in your car or driving after people or like chasing them or trying to rocket the car.
Wow.
And you're constantly running around trying to do that. It's really weird because like if you're not in a vehicle, it gets really interesting and really weird, like boring kind
of. That's crazy.
Where you can never really, you know, you basically have to time it just right so you can jump into a car that's already moving.
Right.
Anyway, so I mean, it's really fun, but it's just, I haven't gotten quite the hang of that one. Then the other one is just Conquest. It's just a really large map, big vehicles, helicopters, the usual, five flags and that whole thing. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
Super fun. There's also been something that I have been wanting to tell you about for a few days.
Oh.
So
you've been keeping secrets.
I have been keeping secrets. So there's this game, and it's called Dreeps.
Yeah, Dreeps?
Dreeps.
How do you spell this?
Dreeps, and it's an iPhone game. And it's really weird. It's an alarm clock game, but it's an RPG. And so the billing is for people who don't have the time to play an RPG, buy this app and use it as your alarm clock, and you can experience the fun of an RPG without all the time thing. And all the art is beautiful in it. So what I do, like, the gameplay is relatively simple, that you set an alarm every night, and his HP goes up. So he goes to sleep whenever you sleep, and his HP goes up. Then whenever the alarm goes off, he wakes up and goes on his adventure with his little buddy back here.
Okay.
And they go and they fight things all day long. Like, you don't really control anything unless he gets hurt while you're watching it. Then you can tap him and he gets back up. But like, you don't really control anything, but you kind of just watch him do his thing. Like, I set it here on my desk. And I every once in a while, I'll be mixing along, and then I'll look over and, oh, he's fighting an awesome boss, or he's having a conversation with some crazy guy, you know? And it's like, oh, that's really
cool. It just plays it all for you.
Yeah, it doesn't. The only gameplay is if he goes down while you're watching, you have to tap him and he gets back up. He just levels up. Like, whenever he wins, he levels up. Whenever he loses, he goes down on his knee and you have to tap him. So
this sounds wild.
It's really weird. Like, it's very strange. Like, there is no gameplay, basically. There is no, like, the mechanics are setting your alarm clock.
So I'm looking at it here. It's $3.
It's $3.
Is it worth the $3?
I thought so, because it's just really, like, I don't know. I like the art style. It's like, I like the fact that it's always just kind of going.
How many alarms can you set?
You can set, like, you set, here, I'll set some with you. Like, so there's, like, three right here, but it's, like, you get different songs on each one, and you level up. As you level up, you get more alarms. And so whenever one goes off, he just goes off on his adventure.
Like, what happens when the next one goes off?
Oh, I think you'd only set one at a time. But so, like, you choose which one. And, like, depending on what you choose, because this guy, like, whenever I set the first one, I got a different friend to follow me around. Like, I got a different party member. And so then on the next one, I have this little snail guy now.
I feel like I like this.
It's really fun. Like, I don't know. It's so super weird and super...
I'm gonna check this out.
Like, if you don't like things that you... You know, if you don't like things that you just leave your hands off of and they just go, then this is not for you. But if you do like that...
I'm downloading it right now.
Cool. You should.
Yes.
You should.
A couple weeks ago, I didn't talk about... I forgot to, actually. I finished playing and completed the game Catherine.
Nice.
It was good. It was...
Was it fun?
It was fun. It was... Okay, so...
Is that a puzzler?
It is a puzzler. Well, it's... Okay, so... The most interesting aspect of the game is the story.
Okay.
The puzzling is generally the same all the time, and it gets really hard.
Yeah.
I basically had to follow online guides, YouTubes, to get through some of the levels. Not all of them. Actually, like the final few levels, I could get through fine by myself.
That's
but
weird.
It was like some of the middle levels were just like unbelievably hard because it requires like really exact timing. And if you, I don't know if you remember on the 360 gamepad, the directional pad is not super exact.
Yeah.
It's hard to get your timing down, all that kind of stuff. And so, but I completed it. If what I'm trying to do right now is work back through all the puzzles and get a gold rating on them.
Mm.
And if you do that, you never have to play them again if you replay the story, because there's apparently 9 different endings or something like that.
Yeah.
And so my goal is to see all the endings.
Dude.
And in order to do that...
Is that 9 playthroughs, or do you save it at a certain point and then like it splits off? You can save
at a certain point. Yeah, you can save at a certain point and but so basically it's 3 playthroughs, but you have to save at a certain point for those 3 so you can get the 3 different endings on that side of the spectrum.
Gotcha. So it like stems off into like obviously each time it splits it goes into 2 different directions. So there's 9 you said total.
Yeah, there's 9. So there's 3 so 3 for each, like, you know, there's a basically you either choose the good path, bad path, or neutral path.
Which path did you choose the first time?
Good path. I got the normal good ending. I don't know. There's like normal good ending. I don't know really what it is, like what determined that.
Yeah, because if there's 9 tiers, I'm just thinking like there's 9 tiers of goodness.
Some of the endings determine on like some questions that you answer in the last. It's kind of like one of those kind of games where like you answer questions and you. Get rated based on your answers and all that kind of stuff. It's a really weird game.
Dude, that's really strange.
It's really weird. And this is the thing. So I
love that both of us brought to the table really, really weird games this week.
That's true. Man, what have we been thinking about? this is the context surrounding my playing this game. So I started a long time ago. It was like on sale for, I think, like $5 one time for an Xbox Live sale. And I started it, and I was like, wow, this is really hard. And so I like stopped playing it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the story. It was cool. It was different. It's all about this relationship and all that kind of stuff. But like, it was really hard. And I was like, I don't know if I actually enjoy this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a lot of times, like, that's where puzzlers get to me a lot of times is like, it just becomes a grind to actually get through it. I love puzzlers, but
this one's just unbelievably hard. Beyond the point, that's beside the point.
Yeah, yeah.
I got sick a few weeks ago. I got crazy sick where I like had a fever and I basically spent 3 days straight in bed almost. Oh, well, it was 2.5, but who's counting? 2.5 days. I should have been in bed the rest of that other day. 2.5 days straight in bed. And so I decided to pull it back out. Of course, I'm sick in bed. I'm not in the right state of mind.
Let's do a puzzler.
Let's do the worst puzzler ever. It's this weird game. And I played it, beat it. I don't, you know, like I say, I'm going to go back and play it. I don't know if I will.
Were you in this feverish haze where it's like, I don't really know if that happened for real?
I kept having, you know, like, it was just, yeah, I was kind of like, I would fall asleep for like, you know, an hour and wake back up and just like, all right, I'm imagining, you know, just bust through some of the puzzles and fall back to sleep again. And it was just weird, dude. I did this before with Dust and Elysian Tale.
Oh, that's a fun game.
I have not gone back to play that game either.
I love that game, dude.
I know, but I played it while I was sick in the same kind of state of mind.
Yeah.
And
every time you now go back to play it, do you feel sick?
I don't go back to play it because every single time I think about it, I think about that time in my life and it was horrible.
So you're never gonna find out where those other 8 endings are.
Probably. Oh, that's probably not. Let's just say right here, if I do, it's a feat of strength, me powering through. Maybe I'll get sick again.
Yeah, maybe that'll happen. Is Dust and Elysian Tale out for Vita? I feel like that'd be a perfect Vita game.
It would be a perfect Vita game. I don't know. That's a good question.
You should find out.
I'll find out. I also started watching World War Z.
Nice.
I've not finished it yet.
Well, so you haven't gotten to the Lindelof ending.
No, but so far it's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I hear that it's really good. I don't know. I've heard also that it's very different from the book and that sort of thing.
I didn't go see it in theaters because I didn't hear good things about it, and I really like it so far.
So obviously the zombies are fast. So like, but what is this like? Like, is it a big epic action adventure flick? Is it kind of like a horror thing? Is it more like I Am Legend? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, it's not action adventure. It's more like it's an action / horror. I think.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like what I would call it right now.
Well, I mean, like, it has all of the makings of an awesome film. It's like Brad Pitt.
They're gonna make another one.
It's gonna, well, hopefully that one gets better, better received than this one did. I don't know, because I remember also, like, a lot of people just went in and they didn't know. So maybe whenever you finish it, maybe it just all falls apart at the end, dude.
Oh, that's entirely possible.
It's just, well, they had, like, this big confusing ending, and then they had to call Damon Lindelof to finish it for them, to rewrite the ending. And so it's like, I don't know. I just don't view him necessarily as the ender of movies.
By the way, I just looked up Dustin Elysian Tale. It is out for PS4, but not for Vita.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like that would be perfect for a Vita, so maybe it'll come out with it later?
Have you been playing anything on your 3DS lately?
Dude, I've been playing a lot of things on my 3DS, and that's part of the problem is I have so many like games for it, and then I'm in various stages of completion that it's like it's hard for me like to sit down. It's basically I sit down and I'm like, hey, what mood am I in today?
Yeah.
Is there an RPG that I'm in the mood for?
Are you close on any of them?
I am close on a couple of them, actually. There's a Mario game that I'm pretty close on. Then there's a there's one that I'm not anywhere close to. But it is like I really just keep going back to it now. And it's the Fire Emblem Awakening. It's a strat RPG. It's really fun.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a tactical RPG. Sorry, it's a tactical RPG.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna talk about collectibles in a bit.
But first, the news.
Our first piece of news, John.
The first one.
There have been new details released for the Rise of the Tomb Raider.
The Rise of the Tomb Raider. Is this going to be like? Is this going to be like Dark Knight Rises? Is this...
No, it's no. But
not even close.
After the spoilers for the first game, kind of.
Sort of, maybe.
After the first game, Laura is not in the right state of mind. And she is trying to... She encountered an immortal being.
This is true.
And so she is trying to understand immortality in this being.
Yeah.
And so she goes on a quest to Siberia, the Siberian tundra.
Nice.
And Crystal Dynamics have said they're going to introduce a couple more gameplay elements. She's going to be able to climb trees, hide in foliage, swim underwater. They're going to include more tombs than last time.
That's awesome.
Because they kind of fell by the wayside last time.
Well, like last time, yeah, it was like they were some of the most fun parts, but they weren't very long, and there weren't very many of them. I think there's only like a handful, like five. Yeah.
The creative director, Noah Hughes, talked to Game Informer and said, "It's important for us to capture those moments where Laura is uncertain about her identity, her direction, or her ability to come out alive."
That's awesome, dude.
The concept art, she looks a lot older. She looks like she's a little more well-equipped this time. She's, you know, still has her bow and arrow, which is cool.
So what I love about this reboot, and especially the first one, was that, like, I guess a lot of the Lara Croft games and Tomb Raider games that had come previously, they dealt with a lot of the supernatural, and they dealt with, you know, immortal beings, and they dealt with a lot of that stuff. But, like, this was the, you know, going back to the origins, and it was this reboot where this is the first time. And I don't think we ever really, in the previous games, ever had anything like that. It was just kind of like, oh, well, this just exists and she just is, where it was nice to get this kind of like backstory of it. I'm excited to see now that that is like on the table, how far do they take it for the second, you know, installment?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they just up the game or whatever, there opens up a lot of options. Because while last game we were, you know, there was this undertone of like, okay, is there something supernatural going on? A lot of it was just physical, and a lot of it was just, you know, running around killing folks.
True. The next piece of news.
I love the like big pause.
Yeah,
like
Destiny House of Wolves has a possible release date. It's the new expansion for Destiny, and some details.
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah. Okay, so there's possibly. There's like this asterisk by it where it's like maybe.
Maybe. There's nothing official has been announced, and there's a lot of people have been doing basically data mining on the updates that come out for Destiny.
So, Chris, here's a good question for you. Do you know anything about data mining?
Well, they take all the code and somehow go through it.
Piece by piece, right?
Yeah.
But like I just envision a bunch of like coders with miners' hats on.
Yes, that's what they do.
Roaming around in the dark.
Yes.
Searching, digging for these things.
They do that. So they were looking, they found some information relating to House of Wolves. Mm-hmm. With the possible release date now is May. It was previously thought to be March. That would make March makes more sense in terms of how they released Vault of Glass. Or what was that called? Dark Below.
Yeah, Dark Below.
Because the Dark Below came out 3 months after the release of the game. 3 months later would be March, and May would put it. April,
No. Hang on. Hmm? When did the Crota's? Well, not Crota's End. When did the Dark Below come out? Was that just this month?
This December.
December. It was in December, and so that would have been 4 months. Yeah, you're right. That would put it on par with
3 months.
So September,
No, you don't count September.
Oh, because we're, but it was like early in September.
October, November, December. It was early December when it came out.
Oh, okay.
It was like December 5th so or something
early,
like that.
Or late early March would make sense. Like that.
That's what it was previously thought to be. There was another like data leak and someone, like it said March, but now they're thinking May. Maybe it got pushed back. Who knows?
Who knows?
All this stuff kind of like just, you know, it's
always in flux.
It could not be right at all. It could be right. I don't know. But the description for the DLC reads, "The Queen's Fallen have purchased their freedom with awoken blood. Hunt down the traitors and your debt to the Queen will be paid." So it looks like we're going to be going to the Reef to do another raid. We're going to have another strike. We'll have some more single player missions again.
Maybe the Queen will come
back. The Queen will come back, which is what I've been wanting.
Yeah, you've been asking about this for a long time. You're like, do you think she'll ever come back? And I'm like, I hope so.
She was there, what was it, the week after launch?
Oh, it was 2 weeks,
Two weeks after launch, and she was there for a couple weeks, and there was this really cool cloak, John.
Yeah?
And I did not get the cloak.
You couldn't get the cloak.
Because I just didn't play enough.
Ah, that's all it always is with Destiny. It's like, it punishes you for not coming back.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you like this game? Too bad. You can't have any of it unless you play.
What, you have to work every a job?
Day. Every day. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just kind of how it goes, man. It's just like, I don't know. Hopefully it comes back and they have a lot of the same stuff that they had before.
Yeah, it'd be really cool. And I'm really looking forward to more content. I still haven't run this raid. Maybe we can take care of that this week.
We totally need to, dude. Yeah. I'm interested to see what your perception of this raid is. We did do the raid earlier this week with a
Voltoclass.
A new team, basically.
Yeah, we took three new people in.
And one who'd only been through the entire thing once.
Yeah, are which you was sure really that's fun. True?
I'm pretty sure. Like, he said he had only fought Atheon once. He said, I've only been through this part once.
Okay.
Because I asked him, like, because he had been kind of explaining some of the previous stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, and yeah. So I think we were in there with basically a bunch of newer people. So
that's cool. It went great.
Yeah.
The next piece of news: Sony has sold 6.4 million PS4 consoles in their latest financial quarter, the third quarter.
Okay,
that's a lot
and way more than last gen sold. So
yeah,
and console gaming is alive and well.
Yeah, well, in the last same period last year, we saw 4.5 million PS4, so more people are buying these consoles now than they even did last year.
Well, that makes sense, though. I think, like, with the Xbox One, the price drop, and I don't know, there's more games now to justify the purchase, that sort of thing. So,
the last bit of video game news, MLB 15, the show, has announced their 10th anniversary edition for $10 extra whenever the game releases on March 31st. It will include an exclusive cover on a wood grain steelbook, 12,000 in stubs, 15 bonus item packs.
Is that like in-game currency?
Yes, in-game currency, sorry.
Cool.
Dynamic PlayStation 4 themes for all 30 MLB teams and the official MLB 15 dynamic theme. Pre-orders for the physical copies of the anniversary edition will get you a voucher for a DualShock 4 skin for the MLB team of your choice from Skinit, and pre-ordering from GameStop will also net you 6 additional bonus pack items.
Are you going to get this game?
Yes.
Okay.
This is why.
Okay.
A few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sony announced that the stats would carry over and everything would carry over from MLB The Show 14,
okay,
which is last year's game,
yeah,
to this current new game.
Nice.
Which is amazing. Never happened before. And that makes it worth picking up again. You know, like, okay, so like, it's such a big game. It takes such a long time to get through.
Yeah, because like, there's the MLB, whole season and stuff.
Yeah, I'm playing MLB 14 The Show. And I picked it up around, what was that?
Oh, it was a while back.
It was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Black Friday. And but I'm not going to finish it before 2015 The Show comes out. But yeah. I can continue my game save, basically.
That's great. Yeah. So like, how does that continue, though? Does it continue with the roster from last year or from
show 14? No, they update roster. So like, some things would change. But I mean, unless you're like, you know, I don't know, like unless you're playing as the Yankees and, you know, you want Derek Jeter to still be on your team.
Yeah.
You're fine. If you want that, then don't play this game.
Well, it's also most, you know, the most current rosters. Like that's always, you know, whenever you're playing the season, if you're end up playing while they're playing, you know, you almost want to just have parity. So.
Although I need to find, I think it was NBA 2K14. I need to find. Or 15, or I'm sorry, 13. I don't know. Whichever one was the last one with
Oh, LeBron.
LeBron in Miami.
In Miami, yeah.
So I can have LeBron, Wade, and Bosch all on the same
just,
team.
Just the Three Musketeers, dude.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I want. Moving on to some TV news. We've seen a new photo of Brandon Routh as the Atom.
Heck yes.
I'll post this photo on stayontargetpodcast.com. Go there, find this
looks
so
article. Awesome.
Oh man, he looks amazing, dude.
Like, so like whenever I saw it, I was initially like, dude, he looks like a futuristic war soldier. Like, just looks so cool, man.
Yeah, for sure. Like, awesome. This is the best, I think, television superhero suit that we've seen.
Well, it's like, and it even rivals some film ones that we've seen, or like at least like police armor or like whatever, you know, kind of armor suits that we've seen.
Right.
And I think that we're sticking with the armor, right? I mean, it doesn't look like there's anything like to hint that he's going to be changing size anytime soon.
Yeah, correct. And what I think surprises me the most is the fact that there's not really anything to obscure his face. So he's not trying to...
Well, there's that glass. Oh, he's not trying to hide his identity. Exactly. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, that's an astute observation.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. Unless maybe the glass on the suit, like, you know how you have those windows that can frost over?
Yeah.
Maybe it does either that, or maybe it, like, blackens or something. I don't know. Becomes just like a sunglass visor.
We've said before on, like, Arrow on Target, which is our Arrow podcast, that Diggle doesn't hide his identity at all either. And
which is kind of ridiculous.
It's kind of crazy. Maybe they're going to go for like, just go off the bat, more like the Iron Man side of things where it's like, he's got enough money.
Yeah.
He's, you know, where he's just like, okay, I'm the target now.
That's true.
So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be weird to see how this goes, just to see if they spin him off into his own series or if there's somebody with a super suit running around, you know, I don't know. I just don't know how that plays with the Team Arrow thing.
Yeah. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I'm excited about it too, man.
There is a new picture of Zack Snyder on the Batman vs. Superman set. It looks like he's in a crumbling Wayne Manor.
Of course it's crumbling.
Oh, well, I mean, it doesn't have to be crumbling.
You can't, you can't have pristine things in that universe. I mean, it's just everything's got to be, you know, dilapidated or destroyed in some way.
It's an old photo. The caption reads, "Seems like a long, long time ago, I miss my Carney gang."
What does that mean?
Maybe he employed a bunch of carnies.
I don't know what this means.
It just means that it was back. Batman News pointed out that the scarf Snyder is wearing in the photo is the same one seen in a set photo from May, back when production began with Gal Gadot.
Okay, I thought they were going to say it's the same one we stole from him back in September. Exactly. So this has to be that old, at least, right? You know?
Yeah,
that'd be really funny.
It would be funny.
That would be hilarious.
Yes, more movie news. The lead for the standalone Star Wars, unannounced Star Wars 2016 movie.
It's been announced,
but we don't know what the title is or what it's about.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay, there it is.
Felicity Jones is going to headline, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
The Theory of Everything. She was in a movie, I can't remember what the name was, a couple years ago. Appearance by Jennifer Lawrence. I'm excited about it. This is what I am excited about. I'm excited if there are rumors that it could be a bounty hunter movie. It'd be really cool to see a female lead in a bounty hunter Star Wars movie.
So
super cool.
Do you think this would go at the same timeline as I guess the new movies, or do you think we're gonna go back into the past, or like, is this gonna be something that completely doesn't relate at all? I don't know. Like, I'm interested to see how it goes in.
I mean, they've said that the standalone movies are not going to be constrained to the current timeline, so they could take place anytime. Oh, although I feel like they will want to stay in the current timeline for right now.
Yeah.
So, like, while it might not happen concurrently with the 2015 episode 7, they might make it, you know, like, it takes place afterwards is what I would probably do if I was Disney.
Yeah, because
then
you wanna,
maybe wait until the 2000 and I guess it would make it 2018 standalone film, and maybe go back into the past or something like that.
That could be cool. That could be really cool. It'd also be really cool to see this character get set up on the standalone and then be able to come into the action somehow in the second, like episode 8 or whatever.
Yeah.
Which are we like, because it's Star Wars, the Force Awakens, are we like, have we dropped the number now? Like, are they just going to go?
No, they're calling it episode seven.
Is it episode seven?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're doing like the, on odd numbered years, we're going to have the numbered sequels. And then on the even numbered years, we're going to have the standalone films, you know, like, you know, if it's a Han Solo film or if it's, you know, something else.
Yeah.
This one.
So this one, but yeah, if this person, you think maybe we could pull like a Marvel thing where like this character plays a role, a small role in this movie, and then, you know, we see someone like that's where the next movie starts. I feel like that could be cool.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Like anything, honestly. Like I'm while I would love to go see like a, you know, like a Boba Fett movie or a Han Solo movie or something like that, I honestly, like, I'm kind of I really want to get invested in the new universe that they're building.
Yeah,
I was honestly kind of disappointed whenever Star Wars Rebels, the animated series on Disney Channel, that it was taking place between episode 4 and 5, you know, like that it was based in the past. I'm like, I kind of wanted to see it set after episode 6 and lead up to the new episode 7. And yeah. So like, I would love to, I want to dive into the new world. I want to get into it, learn about it. And so like another movie set in that time period is honestly something that I want. I don't necessarily want to go back to the past just yet.
Not yet. You know, maybe third movie, maybe fourth movie. I think I'm set there. The Rebels thing makes sense to me because it'll fill in that gap for me. Like, cause it'll connect those two incredibly well. And that team does incredibly well at those types of stories, like where, hey, you know, how do we make them care about this more? How do we connect this dot to this dot?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely think the Rebels thing was a good choice and a smart choice. It could have also been tied to the fact that they didn't quite know where they were going with the newer movies.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get that team onto the Disney Channel versus something on Cartoon Network, that sort of thing. So they could have been a money decision. So
speaking of Star Wars, a few weeks ago, we talked on the podcast, we answered a listener question about what Star Wars or Marvel new rides would look like.
And attractions and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, inside the Disney parks. And so there's some news on that front, actually.
Boom!
speaking to Wall Street analyst Bob Iger, the Disney, I don't know if he's CEO, Disney, top Disney guy, he said that there's a fair amount of design and development taking place by the company's Imagineers to greatly increase Star Wars presence in multiple locations around the world. This is coming via Variety. He said the plans are ambitious, so it's going to take some time for them to be built and opened. He also stated that we would possibly find out more information later this year about what they have planned for the Disney parks.
Did he say like what event is it, like in one of their events, or like when would we find out more potentially?
No, he said, quote, fairly, they asked when we would find out. He said, quote, fairly soon. I'm sure we'll be ready to go public with some specifics, but it's safe to say that you'll see a lot more Star Wars at Disney and at Disney parks in the near future.
So what's funny about that, like maybe we see it during some announcements during Star Wars weekends in like May and that sort of thing down there and in Disney World. So
that'd be
fun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome. And like, yeah, like we talked about that, this, you know, on the, I'll embed this podcast in the article. So go to standtargetpodcast.com. I'll try to like notate what the time code is where we talked about this question. But yeah, like I'm really excited. Not only, like, I think something that Disney does so well, it's not just the rides, it's the lands. So like, you know, there's new, what is it?
New Fantasyland.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You feel like there's all these castles. There's the Beast Castle.
Gaston's Tavern
and Pinocchio's whatever that was, restaurant.
Yeah, the village house.
There's the 100-acre woods there with the, so Winnie the Pooh. And so it's like, man, I just want to walk through the forests of Endor.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, like be on Tatooine, go into the cantina and eat some food, you know, while the band's playing.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah, it'd be awesome, dude.
And it's like, what's fun about like Disney stuff is like they do it so well that you can kind of just sit there and just experience things, you know, where you can just observe, you know, people in the area. And it's just fun to be there.
Yeah.
I'm super excited, dude.
Yeah. Be really, really cool. I'm really, really, really pumped about that. And that's the news.
And on to the main segment, Chris.
The main segment.
So this week we're actually talking about collectibles.
Yes.
And so, Chris, let's dive headfirst into this conversation.
Okay.
Do you collect anything now? Like, so is there any things that you collect currently?
There are things that I collect currently. Let me tell you a story, John.
Okay, I'll listen to this story.
About how I have failed as a man.
You failed this city.
I have failed this city. So I collect comic books. We both do. Yep. And we have pull box at the local comic shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go pick up my comics for like 6 months.
Terrible.
I'm a terrible customer.
Yep.
You don't. But this is the thing. I always pick up my comics. I just don't always pick them up in a timely fashion.
Bi-yearly.
I mean, that's the longest time I've gone.
That's like a really long time.
It is a really long time. And honestly, like, it's I stopped working in the town where the comic book shop is. And yep. So like, I used to drive past it every day going home. And yep. So it's like, you just pull in and stop and get your comics and, you know, continue on your way.
Right.
That was no longer the case. And so I never went there. I honestly have no reason to go into that side of town anymore.
Yeah.
So that being said, I didn't go to the comic shop.
Yeah. So
I went there yesterday. All my comics gone.
Ah,
the last 6 months of comics just wiped out.
So are you going to go back and collect them back?
Yeah, I'm going to have to find them. I'm going to go probably tomorrow and try to find the rest of Batman because I started reading Batman.
Yes.
We can talk about that in a second.
You've been quite far behind on Batman for a while.
I hadn't read any of the new 52.
Right.
Which means I'm about 3 years behind.
Yes.
On Batman.
Of really, really good stories.
Yeah. I don't know why. Dude, I don't know why I was so far behind on Batman because I've read a lot of the other ones.
Yeah, you read like a bunch of Superman and like Supergirl, that sort of thing.
Yeah, which I'm actually kind of bummed out about that. Anyway.
It would be pretty much a bummer if you lost 6 months of comic books.
Yes. Just that I have to go find now.
Yeah.
And so I started what is it? Court of Owls first, and then there's Night of Owls. I started them last night and finished it last night.
It's awesome.
About 1 a.m.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's so good. Scott Snyder did a phenomenal job.
Oh, yeah. And, they change a lot of things within those stories, like with the Batman universe, and that are refreshing updates. That's how I'll put it, you know?
So, let's do a spoiler alert for Court of Owls. If you have not read Batman, Court of Owls, or Night of Owls, okay? Skip through maybe the next 5-10 minutes of conversation.
I'm gonna put us on a 5-minute timer.
A 5-minute timer to talk about this.
Keep it pretty truncated here. So 3, 2, 1.
All right. So the things I love about this, Scott, you should put that down. This makes me nervous.
Okay.
Scott Snyder did a phenomenal job of building the Court of Owls into this world.
You know,
where they've existed in Gotham City for 120 years. They live and have organized themselves on the 13th floors, the hidden floors on every single building that anyone in the Wayne family has ever built. And actually Alan Wayne, all the ones that he built for sure. And that his, what was it? Basically he established some kind of trust that every 10 years builds a building. And all the 13th floors are all the basis for the Court of Owls.
Crazy.
It was amazing.
So awesome.
Just the fact that they exist there. It was really cool that Dick Grayson was supposed to be an assassin, a Talon assassin.
Yep.
And Batman figured that out. I loved Batman's, like, there was a point where he basically went crazy in their maze, and like the comic book, you're just turning it upside down and sideways and all this kind of stuff to read it. That was amazing.
That was so awesome.
I love whenever he comes out of the armory. He and Alfred have locked themselves in there trying to get away from the assassins, and they turn down the temperature in the Batcave to slow them down, and he puts on this big suit and comes out and says, "Get the out of my cave,
dude,
my house." That's what he says.
It's so awesome. Like whenever they're, it's super creepy because they've locked barricaded themselves in this armory, and they're like taunting them through the door. You know, and they're like all of these assassins are like finishing each other's sentence. I mean, it's just super creepy. Super creepy.
Yeah, it was amazing. I loved how apparently Bruce has a brother that got killed in a car accident whenever he was young. So that's pretty wild and cool. Cool idea there that they added into the new 52.
Yeah.
I really like what else did I say?
Well, there's a lot of like cool small things that are in there, like with. Basically, the way that the court is embedded in things, and like how they get him into the maze, and like all those types of things. So
yeah. I really there are things that I'm iffy on. Alfred is younger.
Yep.
And so he didn't grow Bruce didn't grow up with Alfred always being there as his caretaker.
Or his, like, father figure or whatever.
Yeah, like, that was kind of always kind of, like, the thing whenever... whenever his parents were killed, Alfred took care of him.
Yeah, you know? And so like the next story arc, the one that you're about to go to, I think makes that make a little bit more sense, makes it a little bit cooler, that sort of thing too. Yeah. So I like that update, but it did take me a little bit to actually be more okay with it. Yeah. So.
The two things I really didn't like, I didn't like the way that Dick was used in this. He basically was there just, he would show up whenever Scott Snyder needed Batman to explain things to the readers. And so he shows up as a way for a person to Batman to talk to.
Yeah.
And so like, it was just kind of like, all right, well, this is just, you're just a tool here.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of weird. I also didn't like how they incorporated other books into the tie-in because like it's basically like you're going full force. They attack the Batcave. You know, that you're going to fight the rest of the Court of Owls and the Assassins. And then all of a sudden it says, or he says, I'm going to do this. And then there's a little notation that says, see Detective Comics, issue 9. You're like, what?
Yep.
So you have to stop that issue.
Yep.
Go pick up Detective Comics issue 9.
Yeah.
Read that one. And at the end of that one, it points you to Birds of Prey. Who knows where Birds of Prey was going
to
take
me? Oh, dude, it probably, like, it sends you all around, like, to a lot of the other books.
And then
like,
you circle back around to the Bat book.
Yeah, you end up back at the Bat book. It's also, like, I don't know, like, those types of tie-ins, they really hinder the other books more so than they hinder the main book.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's kind of annoying whenever tie-ins like that happen. But I think that they've since perfected the tie-in. At least Scott and Greg have perfected a lot of like the tie-ins to where it doesn't really infringe on their story and doesn't really hurt the other books' stories. So.
Yeah. A couple of things I really did love, though, were the way that, like, if you look at the overall arc of all 11 books, they started with this whole thing where Bruce is giving a speech and saying there's this article in the paper that would run daily that says people would write in and say Gotham is blank and stuff.
Yeah.
And he would say that they would say Gotham is Batman or Gotham is the Joker or Gotham is all those other things. At the end, he's having this conversation with Dick, which is actually the best conversation between the two of them in this series. He says, I learned something about Gotham, and Gotham is all of us, is everyone. And then Dick looks at him and says, well, Gotham is kind of Batman, you know. And so it was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. It's great. Everybody should pick it up for sure.
Yep.
And that's timer up. Like, this is perfect. That was perfect, Chris.
Yeah, that was probably the best one of those that we've done.
It fit within those 5 minutes really well. And so, like, if you didn't listen to that and you haven't read the Court of Owls Batman, it is some of the coolest Bat stories in the past few years, for
Definitely
sure.
Definitely pick up the graphic novels.
Oh, yeah. It's they're classics now in my mind. So,
yeah, I collect that. I collect on a limited basis Disney Infinity figures, the ones that I want to play with at least.
You collect records too?
I collect records.
Vinyl.
Yeah, yep. I collect a lot. I have a lot of records. I don't know. Is there anything else I collect?
I don't know. Is there something that you would like to collect? Like,
I'd like to collect everything.
Like, I mean, like, what's like the top thing where it's like, hey, I want to collect.
I want to collect like the super high end. Like comic statues, you know, like those really cool, like
the really expensive ones.
Oh yeah, like, you know, they come out with like the Batman black and white statues, man. And they're like $200. Cool. You know, like I would love to collect that kind of stuff.
Those are really cool.
I like to collect special editions of video games whenever I can afford them. Those get wildly expensive as well. Like,
yeah,
I think how much was the Titanfall? Like, it was $250.
It was a lot.
But that statue was amazing. It lit up and all that kind of stuff. It was like what, like a foot and a half tall?
Yeah,
or
it was
something.
Really tall, and it was longer too.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just basically I don't have a shelf in my house. I think that would have actually fit on.
Yeah, that, and it's just like, you know, I look at my expendable income, and I'm just kind of like, meh, I mean, I don't need it.
Yeah.
And so until I can just like blow the money on it, I have no reason to get it.
For sure, dude. So I collect comic books, like you said, and so there's like I have a lot of those. Like, as you can look around the room. And there are a number of like just kind of stacks of them just chilling around the room here. They're awesome. I love comic books. I collect graphic novels as well, and but I also collect Funko Pop figurines.
Yes.
And other types of like figures, I guess. I have a decent number of figures over here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like to collect those, especially because they're not super expensive.
No.
They're like $10, $15 bucks, you know.
Yeah.
And they're awesome and cute.
Yeah,
so
they are.
Yeah. There's a collector core. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, it was, I guess it was two, when was it that you texted me about that? About the Hulkbuster pop. There's a Hulkbuster in like it's going to release with the Age of Ultron movie. There's a whole series of these little
Funko Pop
figures. And they all look awesome. They're all super cool updates. And there's a Hulkbuster, and it's 6 inches tall versus the 3-inch normal. And like it's about as tall as my Baymax over here because I have Baymax and he's 6 inches tall. And anyway, so there's like the exclusive like collector box things. Like you could sign up for it. It's like a subscription service. And so they have a Marvel Funko Pop collector box, like where they will ship you every 2 months. They'll send you a box with, you know, you pay for it, obviously, but they'll send you a box with a Funko Pop, a t-shirt, and a couple of accessories and things in it.
That's amazing.
Which is awesome. You know, it's like, I don't even remember. I think it's like $25 a box or something like that. So it's like, you know, not super expensive. But in order to get the Hulkbuster, you had to get the first box. And so I got the first box. And so you texted me about it. I was like, I already did it. You know?
When does it release?
That releases in April. The the other ones come out the month before in May. So like a lot of the or May, no, so it comes out I think in April. The others come out in March.
I will make a note. We will post the link to that if you can send it to me.
It's just collectorcore.com. so collector and then c-o-r-p-s or r whatever it is, c-o-r-p-s.
There'll be a link on samtargetpodcast.com.
There you go, just remember that one.
Yeah, like I think I guess I kind of could say I guess I collect books.
Yes, you definitely do.
I have so many books that I have not read. But and this it ranges from like okay, here's a current release that I intend to read.
Yeah,
that I really want to read. It's on my like reading list, and then I'll buy like these cool like old history books or like some kind of cool looking children's book that honestly just look cool on my shelf.
Yeah, or like you got, what is it, the Illustrated Hobbit recently.
Oh man, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that book is so cool. And it's like whenever I saw it, I was like, I want one of these. It's just really cool.
Yeah, I got that for my wife for her birthday. And it, yeah, it was really cool.
Where did you find that at?
I saw that it was releasing. I think I think I bought it off Amazon. And I'm super surprised that it actually came in and it was not dented up
or something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So for like, yeah, I've gotten a number of books recently from them and I've had to send them back, like almost every single one, at least once. And so you send it back and you're like, hey, it was in terrible condition. And you get, and some, by some miracle, it's to your box and it's fine.
That's horrible.
And it's like, wow, that's awesome. That's
horrible.
But, so here's something, like, where do you find a lot of your like things that you collect? Like,
yeah,
is it record stores or like, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, honestly, like, where I prefer to buy them is someplace where I can like buy them in person. Like,
yeah,
and so like comics too. And records, I like to feel them. Like, even, you know, sometimes I'll order them off the internet, but I would rather, you know, buy them someplace I can just like pick it up physically, make sure it looks okay, make sure the quality, because you don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, something I missed that I about killed myself. On Black Friday, there was a Record Store Day release of the, it was a cassette tape of the Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Yep.
And I was only $10. I totally would have gone to the local record store had I known it was releasing. Like, they just didn't publicize it, man. There were like only 5,000 copies or something like that.
Wow. And how much are they running online now? Like, could you buy?
Oh, like $50.
Of course. Yeah. It's terrible.
I know, right? And so, like, that would have been amazing to have. I have a tape deck. I could play it. You know, it's not like it would just sit there. So, I don't know. Like, there's stuff like that that I really like. I mean, anything that's kind of exclusive kind of gets me. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I try to not, like, totally just dive into everything.
Yeah.
Because I would just dive into it and just buy everything.
Yeah, and it's funny. Like, I think we've talked on the podcast before that I've been in that same boat where it's like, oh, I could really get into Funko Pops. And then I was like, but I'm not really going to – I'm only going to get the Batman. And then it was like, oh, but I'm only going to get the, you know, whatever this one was. Oh, I'm only going to get the Baymax. And now I have, like, a collection of them.
Right.
I think you could legitimately say, like, looking at the table right here with a bunch of them on it, that I have a collection of them. So it's, you know, it sneaks up on you, dude.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The collecting sneaks up on you.
Yeah. What would you like to collect if you could?
I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things, but I mean, I kind of like what I collect now. You know, it's like, I don't buy a ton of them in vinyl figures or anything. I have this, the Creeper and the, Steve from Minecraft and things like that. So it's like the ones that I collect, I really, there's reasons why, like some of these, like the Disney Pops or whatever, I have these, Lumiere and, Mrs. Potts and Cogsworth. because like whenever we were in Disney this last time, we went to be our guests, and I went there with my wife for her birthday. And so like I got those around that time just because it's like, oh, that's really cool. Remember that. So it's like a lot of the ones that I have, there are good reasons behind why I have them. And so like, I just kind of like that, like where it's got to have a meaning, where it's not like just blind collecting of just like, oh, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that, you know, I don't know. Like I want, you know, even though there are lots of cool ones and lots of cool things to collect, I want there to be kind of a reason, like a story behind it.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, like I agree with that. You know, like, and that's the thing with like figurines, that like the ones that I want are the versions of the characters that I really love. So like I would love to have a statue of the Supergirl like reboot from, I guess it was like, what was it? Maybe 2002.
Yeah.
Like whenever she came back in the Batman and Superman comics.
Yep.
And I would love to have a version of her as that. I would love to have, you know, like the black and white Batman, because I bought several of those comics whenever they were available digitally, and I really enjoyed them.
Yep.
And I really want that.
I think we talked about that on the podcast whenever you discovered those.
Yes. Yeah, we probably did.
And yeah, I mean, it's like that. Those are awesome memories that you can attach these certain things to. And so like, rather than just saying, I want every Superman thing in history, which is fine, for people to do, you know, but it's like, I would rather have, you know, a bunch of different things that I enjoy, you know, like right. This little alien guy that I want in the machine there. It's the Toy Story alien. We talked about me winning it while we were in Disney out of a claw machine. So I won the Toy Story alien out of a claw machine. Like that's, you know, that's something I will never get rid of, you know, that sort of thing. So it's like, or would never choose to get rid of anyway, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know, like, a lot of times, you know, I mentioned, special editions for video games. Like a lot of times I don't want the special edition until after I've played the game.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm just like, dang it. I really want that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should have spent the extra $40 or whatever to do it. Like, you know, and sometimes it's just like prohibitively expensive. Like there's a Batman Arkham Knight pre-order, and it's got like the tumbler in it, but it's like $150, and it's like,
yeah.
You know, would I buy this? The way I rationalize it, I'm like, okay, would I buy this if it was sitting there for $100 or $90?
Yeah,
is what it would be, and I'm no,
probably not. No,
so not gonna get it, but I wish I could. And now things like I love the vinyl. One of my favorite, okay, my favorite collectibles. We talked about it on the podcast, our year end podcast. My favorite collectibles ever is the vinyl Cartman figurine I got with the Stick of Truth, South Park, the Stick of Truth. And it was only like the special edition for that game was $80, so $20 over the normal price. So for $20, I get this giant, figure of Cartman.
So awesome.
And it's
dude.
Amazing.
Well, like, and also like the vinyl, like it just feels right and it looks right like with this character. So it's like, it's just a really good collectible.
Yeah.
I mean like those types of things, those types of stories and those types of, collectibles are super awesome. Like there's a couple of guys here that I got from a mall. We were hanging out in the mall. And it's the Superman Flash, and I have Batman running around here somewhere. Anyway, like you just, you know, spent a couple of quarters or whatever on getting these little guys out of this this quarter machine. It's like, man, I just remember hanging out at the mall with the family and like that,
right.
You know, doing that, and it was just really fun. So like a lot of that type of thing where I like every single one of the figures that I have, I know who gave it to me or, you know, where I got it, that type of thing. So it's,
yeah.
You know, there's always a story behind it, and I like that aspect of collecting.
Yeah.
Almost more than I like the actual things, you know, because whenever you look at it, you're like, oh, you know, such and such gave me that, or, you know, I found that here or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I like that more than like, okay, I need to get a complete set of, you know, whatever it is, of
right.
DC pop figurines or something like
right.
That's not necessarily like my thing. I really love, you know, like you have a couple of collector's editions, books from Doug Tenaple. They're sketchbooks.
Yep.
And they're amazing.
Yeah.
And like I really like stuff like that, exclusive comics. And you know, exclusive things that like mean something to you and meant something to the people who release them, I guess, is
yeah.
What I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. You know, it's just like this, the fact that the Hulkbuster is exclusive to this collector core or whatever, it makes it that much more cool, you know, where if it was just one that was released, I may not feel as cool about it. I would still buy it. The Baymax that I have right here, he's a glow in the dark Baymax, and I had to go well out of my way to get him because like he came out and I didn't know that he was out, and I hadn't seen the movie. Whenever I saw the movie, I was like, I want that figure.
Yeah.
And so then I look up online and it's like sold out everywhere.
Mm.
And so I ended up having to buy it from another collector But I ended up getting it at a decent price for what it's worth and things like that. So it's, you know, it's, there's things like that, like where you get it and you're like, oh man, I really, you know, I really like this exclusivity of this, you know, where yeah. it's like not a lot of people have the glow in the dark version of this, or not a lot of people have, you know, certain types of things. So yeah, I mean, I love it, dude.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we can ask everybody if they collect anything, they can tweet at us.
Yes.
At Stay On Target Pod.
Let us know what you collect. Maybe we'll check it out. Maybe we'll even might review it. That's another thing. Like, I have the Before Watchmen graphic novels.
Yeah.
Like, I bought those so that we could review them on the podcast here. And like, I love the fact that I have those.
Yeah. They're actually super cool.
You have two of them.
I have two of them here that I haven't read yet.
It was like a year ago. You're as bad as me with Batman.
Yeah.
Almost. Actually, no. Keep it for another 2 years.
Yeah.
Then you'll be as bad as me.
There it is.
But yeah, let us know what you collect. Let us know what you're reading / looking at / whatever.
Playing, yeah, whatever
that
it
we
is.
Should, so that we should check out.
Maybe listening to, you know, all of those things. Yeah.
Cool. I think that's it for this week. You can check out our website, stayontargetpodcast.com. You can find all the links for everything we talked about there. We also have Arrow on Target and Flash on Target. We do every week after the CW's Arrow and the Flash television shows. Those go up on YouTube and on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast on our website.
This is true.
Yeah, I think that's it for this week. We can find us on Twitter at ChrisWright250.
And JohnWright777.
I almost forgot what to say.
And also, if you have a topic that you want us to talk about,
yes.
tweet at us at StayOnTargetPod, # StayOnTopic.
Yes. Topic. Several people have, including StayOnTarget superfan Chris Dennison.
Yep. And I mean, we're giving away posters. Like, yes. This is the other thing. It's not just a one-sided thing. You tweet these topics at us.
You give us something.
Yes, if we
it's
pick
a topic.
It. It's a topic, and then we will give you a poster.
Yes.
If we pick the topic.
Yes.
And the posters, we're whittling down the Interstellar posters here. I think we have like two or three. I think we have three left here. And then after that, we'll figure out something else to give
we'll
away.
We'll find something else.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, that's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.